the virtues exist at the same time. Hence, how can the separate virtues be living things, if you grant that there is one single soul, which cannot create more than one single living thing? Again, no living thing is part of another living thing. But justice is a part of the soul. Therefore, justice is not a living thing. It looks as if I were wasting time over something that is an acknowledged fact, for one ought to decry such a topic rather than debate it. And no two living things are equal. Consider the bodies of all beings. Every one has its particular color, shape, and size. And among the other reasons for marveling at the genius of the divine creator is, I believe this, that amid all this abundance, there is no repetition. Even seemingly similar things are, on comparison, unlike. God has created all the great number of leaves that we behold. Each, however, is stamped with its special pattern. All the many animals, none resembles another in size, always some difference. The Creator has set himself the task of making unlike and unequal things that are different. But all the virtues, as your argument states, are equal. Therefore, they are not living things. Every living thing acts of itself, but virtue does nothing of itself. It must act in conjunction with man. All living things either are gifted with reason, like men and gods, or else are irrational, like beasts and cattle. Virtues, in any case, are rational, and yet they are neither men nor gods. Therefore, they are not living things. Every living thing possessed of reason is inactive if it is not first stirred by some external impression. Then the impulse comes, and finally assent confirms the impulse. Now, what assent is, I shall explain. Suppose that I ought to take a walk. I do walk, but only after uttering the command to myself and approving this opinion of mine. Or suppose that I ought to seat myself. I do seat myself, but only after the same process. This assent is not a part of virtue. For let us suppose that it is prudence. How will prudence assent to the opinion, I must take a walk? Nature does not allow this, for prudence looks after the interests of its possessor, and not of its own self. Prudence cannot walk or be seated. Accordingly, it does not possess the power of assent, and it is not a living thing possessed of reason. But if virtue is a living thing, it is rational. But it is not rational, therefore it is not a living thing. If virtue is a living thing, and virtue is a good, is not then every good a living thing? It is. Our school professes it. Now, to save a father's life is a good. It is also a good to pronounce one's opinion judiciously in the Senate. And it is a good to hand down just opinions. Therefore, the act of saving a father's life is a living thing. Also, the act of pronouncing judicious opinions. We have carried this absurd argument so far that you cannot keep from laughing outright. Wise silence is a good, and so is a frugal dinner. Therefore, silence and dining are living things. Indeed, I shall never cease to tickle my mind and to make sport for myself by means of this nice nonsense. Justice and bravery, if they are living things, are certainly of the earth. Now, every earthly living thing gets cold or hungry or thirsty. Therefore, justice goes a-cold, bravery is hungry, and kindness craves a drink. And what next? Should I not ask our honorable opponents what shape these living beings have? Is it that of man, or horse, or wild beast? If they are given a round shape, like that of a god, I shall ask whether greed and luxury and madness are equally round, for these too are living things. If I find that they give a rounded shape to these also, I shall go so far as to ask whether a modest gait is a living thing. They must admit it, according to their argument, and proceed to say that a gait is a living thing and a rounded living thing at that. Now, do not imagine that I am the first one of our school who does not speak from rules, but has his own opinion. Cleanthes and his pupil Chrysippus could not agree in defining the act of walking. Cleanthes held that it was spirit transmitted to the feet from the primal essence, while Chrysippus maintained that it was the primal essence in itself. Why then, following the example of Chrysippus himself, should not every man claim his own freedom and lack